Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Bills and the Ravens, Sunday, 6:30, here on WGR with postgame and us, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, to follow. Welcome back, Football Friday. Jeremy Kahn out of the Fan in Baltimore in just a moment. It is just starting our special Facebook Live presentation, Playoff Football Friday on WGR's Facebook page, brought to you by Taquito Lindo, Williamsville. Experience Mexico in the 716, and we experienced Taquito Lindo here in our station today.
Delicious.
Which was a nice treat.
Thoroughly enjoyed what I had. Some skirt steak and some pork carnitas. Very good.
Listen to this guy. Jeremy Kahn with us from The Fan in Baltimore. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, you guys are making me hungry, man. Stop talking about food. I haven't eaten today. So.
We will. We'll stop right there. That's it. How are you feeling about Sunday?
I mean, it's kind of like, honestly, and I don't know if you guys are kind of the same way. I'm a little nervous of how confident I am, if that makes sense. As I was talking to Zach off the air, like, I just feel like this is a bad matchup for Buffalo. The same way when we talk about that circular thing, Buffalo beats Kansas City, Kansas City beats Baltimore, and the rest is history. It feels like this game should mean a lot more than just going to Kansas City if that's what happens. But
yeah.
I actually love both of these teams and watched them play this year. I think Josh is having an amazing season, and he's special. When I look at the Ravens and that front that they have, it's just so huge. I mean, their fullback's bigger than almost everybody on your defense, and it's a size issue. And I think if we get to the running game, unless they pull some rabbits out of their hat, I think the Ravens are still going to run the football efficiently.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of anticipating them running the ball efficiently. It's more how they defend everything else to me. Yeah. You know, like I said earlier this week, I would take like 110 yards out of Derrick Henry on Sunday. Like, I would sign for that right now. What I don't want is 180. And I think, you know, the Bills have got some guys back that they didn't have in week 4. I'm sure you know that. And so, like, and I'm also of the mind, like, I don't know, I'm going to believe that a running back is going to be able to win this caliber of game when I see it happen. You know, like, I'm more worried about Lamar Jackson in this matchup than I am Derrick Henry in the size.
And I think that's very fair too. But I also include Lamar in that running game because I talked about it all year, and I think when you guys had me on earlier in the season, that mesh point when Lamar puts the ball in Derrick Henry's belly And he's figuring out if he wants to pull it and run or if he wants to let him go. And there's a still shot of last week's game against the Steelers where there are three Steelers chasing Lamar, and that's that big touchdown run that Derrick Henry had. Lamar's been running a lot more as of late. And I will say this much, since the Ravens made the changes at safety, they've been a top five defense in the league. Our Darius Washington, the little guy on the back end, has been playing his tail off. And I think Kyle Hamilton's one of the best defensive players in the league. They
put
him deeper where they like to use him closer to the line, but it's really worked out, and it's helped them bend but not break.
Jeremy, so last week in the Pittsburgh game and then even in the Cleveland game the week before with the division title at stake, Jackson kept the ball in those on those plays, in those early moments, over and over. He had several runs in a row against the Steelers, if not also the Browns. And I'm sure when we talked, whether it was in the summer or closer to last year's playoffs, how his seeming reluctance to do that might have been very costly to the Ravens. Do you think, is it a combination, maybe, if I'm right, even, is it a combination of, like, strategy and maybe his mental state where even early in a game, sort of getting off, right? Just not getting to a point where you're halfway through the game or later and he really hasn't taken off yet.
Yeah, the hard part with this year is, like, Lamar has redefined himself as a passer. I mean, when you look at his A-dot and how many passes he's actually throwing and the yards that he's thrown for, I think that's one of the things that makes it really impressive with the season he's having. But you're right, when you go back to the AFC Championship, it's like, man, maybe you should have run more. And the only reason I bring up how far they've been throwing the ball downfield is that we had fans here and other media members alike screaming, he's got 10 yards in front of him, why doesn't he run for it? But we never talk about the big plays he makes when he doesn't run for it. I think he's kind of doing, what's the right word? Everybody thinks it's his mom. His mom yelled at him and told him to run when they lost to the Eagles. But I think this was part of his plan. Like, they want to make him more of a pocket passer to extend his career, but they also want him to run when he has to. And I think you're going to see a lot more of this from Lamar. I'm not saying you're not going to see him run. I mean, he's going to run for 800 to 1,000 yards every year if he stays healthy. I think you're going to see him run more in the postseason now.
You mentioned here at the outset that you are maybe unsettled a little bit by how confident you are. How you've been talking to fans and just being around town, like how do you think, because how do you think fans are feeling about this, Jeremy? Because here in Buffalo, like, we've been making the point a lot on our show how similar these two teams are, their existences are in the AFC right now. Like, they both have a Kansas City problem. The Bills have bumped their head more than Baltimore has on Kansas City in the playoffs, but MVP caliber quarterbacks, sort of like time to get it done here. And this isn't even for the right to go to the Super Bowl, but the stakes just seem enormous for both of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. How many divisional games or years in a row is it for you guys? And, like, you know, trying to get over that hump as well. And with Lamar, it's like he's got to win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what everybody's talking about. He's done everything else. He's got MVPs. He's broken records. You know, this year breaking Michael Vick's record in way less time. It's kind of crazy when we're looking at the running quarterbacks in the NFL the same way they're shooting threes in the NBA. And all these records are just getting smashed. But I do think when you start to look at, you know, this team and how the fans feel and everybody else, like, there is this kind of quiet confidence. Outside of that Eagles game, I mean, they played great down the stretch. I can't tell you what happened in the Eagles game. I mean, they didn't run the football well, and I think that's a big part of it. But I also think, like, when you look at Lamar and what they have here with the weapons, you know, and I know you're probably going to ask me about Zay Flowers soon, but Isaiah Likely's been incredible. They've got guys that can kind of step in and make some things happen. But I do think that you're going to see them try to work those tight ends in the middle of the field and run the football efficiently.
Likely is interesting to me, too. And there are similarities with these teams. Like, the Ravens have two good tight ends, and so do the Bills. But you also have the top two quarterbacks in the league this year in efficiency throwing outside the numbers, Jackson and Allen. So maybe anything is possible here. You want the Flowers question here, Jeremy? Like, how big a loss? How big a loss?
I don't know how big a loss it's going to be against Buffalo. I didn't think it was going to be much of an issue against Pittsburgh. They kind of fell apart down the stretch. But when you look at this matchup, I mean, I saw him running a ladder today or some videos of it. But it's weird. The national media was saying he has a chance to play on Sunday. All the local media is like, I don't know if he's going to play in the entire postseason. We have to see him out there first.
Right.
So it was just kind of a weird thing. He does a lot. Like, people like to talk about him taking the top off the defense because he's fast. he does that, and the safeties have to respect him, but they use him underneath in so many different ways. And I don't know how many times I've seen him running at top speed, stop on a dime, jump back, and then try to cut back across the field. So, yeah, he will be missed. I think you get a little bit more Isaiah Likely and you get a little bit more Nelson Aguilar. I mean, Isaiah Likely was bouncing one of the Pittsburgh defenders down the sideline. I mean, the two stiff arms from last week were two of the most amazing plays I've seen from the Ravens all year long. And I think this team feels like that. They're kind of – it feels like they're – I hate saying the team of destiny stuff, but it feels like things are turning here. And I think that's how the fans feel, just to finish the question from earlier. Like, they feel like this team is destined to do something.
Right. I think a lot of fans here feel the same way. I kind of do. Like I've said for, you know, I don't know what it's worth, not much probably, but it just kind of feels like their time a little bit. Like, so, and I mean, that can be just something you tell yourself to just get through the week, you know, because you got so much anxiety about the game. On Flowers specifically here, if he isn't there, and that's kind of what we're expecting, how much, I mean, obviously there's other receivers on the roster, so you don't have to junk your personnel packages entirely, but do you think that could lead Baltimore into using more two tight ends, and they already use a lot, extra linemen, the fullback, that kind of stuff? I mean, I know that's going to be a part of what they do. I wonder if it's, I guess it depends on how it goes early, right? If they have an advantage there, maybe they'll lean into it, but I just wonder if without Flowers, that takes them out of the temptation to use more than two receivers ever.
I think you nailed it there. I mean, if they are winning late, you're going to see those big packages with six offensive linemen, the double tights. Hell, even sometimes they go 13 personnel and have three tight ends out there with Charlie Kohler, who's their best blocking tight end out of the three. So, yeah, I think you're going to see some of that. You know, Rashad Bateman's really kind of coming to his own. This is a first-round receiver. They kept getting hurt. He had a really good year this year, and for whatever reason, it always felt like he and Lamar were on the same page, and now they're finally clicking. But I do think it's going to be a lot of the tight ends, a lot of the running backs. And I was just saying to somebody else earlier today, I just got a weird hunch that Justice Hill is going to catch a few balls out of the backfield with the conditions the way that they could be. Is it going to be windy or just cold on Sunday?
It's not expected to be windy. I haven't looked today, but what I've known all week or thought all week was, you know, bitterly cold, like maybe, you know, below 10 degrees by halftime, but not much in the way of wind nor precipitation, although the precipitation thing might have changed. But no, I don't think it's going to be hellacious. It's going to be really cold.
You know what sucks about this, though, is like, and I hope you guys feel the same way too, like, I don't want whoever wins this game to just go out with a whimper next week. Like, this is, oh, yeah, we got over the hump, we're here. And then, because we did that last year where you had the number one seed and, you know, you kind of screw it up by not running the football in the AFC Championship game when that's your bread and butter. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, kind of what they do on offense. We saw a lot of it against the Steelers, but, I mean, they ran so much on the Steelers, which that was something that typically you're not going to see. And, you know, dropping almost 200 yards rushing on him is just kind of crazy.
With Jeremy Kahn out of the Fan in Baltimore, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog on WGR and on our StreamYard stream brought to you by Taquito Lindo Williamsville. You can find us on Facebook for the next hour and 45 minutes or so. Jeremy, a couple more. Just how important is home field advantage in this game to you? Or do the Ravens play a certain style that makes them maybe, this is maybe the stereotype, more immune to it?
I think their running game and defense is going to travel. They've been a decent road team. Historically, the Ravens have been a great home team and a good road team, but we know they did this on the road, the same exact kind of setup when they won in 2012 with maybe the worst team to ever make a run to a Super Bowl and win it that I've ever seen. I mean, that defense was horrendous all throughout the regular season and then go on to win it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of looking at, you know, this the way that everything's going to set up this weekend. And I feel like looking at those teams, you're going to see the Ravens come out and try to establish something on the road by running the football as much as they can. And if it's not windy, setting up the play action pass, but you know, it's kind of hard to say. I did, you know, I've obviously looked at the Bills being undefeated at home. You know, look, they did everything they were supposed to do. That's a big win against Kansas City. And that's the one thing that I think the Ravens have to consider. It's going to be a tough place to play, you know? So, it's just weird, like, looking at this team, it hasn't been the same feel like it was last year. It's a totally different feel from them.
Yeah. We already talked about the conditions and the weather. How much do you think that could be a factor, and how much have the Ravens players and or coaches talked about it, Jeremy? Because, you know, this sort of stuff makes the rounds at this time of the year. Yeah. Coldest game at kickoff, 27 degrees, 22 for Derrick Henry, 27 for Lamar. So this is going to be cold. Looks like it'll be the coldest game either guy's ever participated in. And, you know, ball handling, that kind of stuff, the turf will probably be pretty slick. I just wonder how much you've thought, or you think anybody over there has thought about the actual game conditions.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the worst job in the world, is to look up what the game conditions were for each game that you've ever played in, right? Just looking at box scores. I mean, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I mean, I think there's some validity to it. He's a Florida kid that played at Louisville. It's not like this is Malibu here in Baltimore. I mean, it's about 15 degrees outside right now. I know both teams were practicing indoors because of icy conditions and all the other nonsense that's going on with the weather. But, yeah, I mean, it has to be a concern. If the Ravens lose this game, I think either Josh Allen has just an amazing game and just kind of supplants himself saying, look at me, I'm that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or it comes down to the Ravens turning the football over. And it may sound a little biased in that, but we've seen this happen. I mean, when they lost to the Steelers earlier this year, Justin Tucker missed 7 points worth of kicks. They lost by 2 points, and then they turned the ball over 3 times. The ball just bounced kind of funny in that mm-hmm. game. So I think turnovers with the conditions, like Lamar's had some fumbling problems in the past. So if I'm the Buffalo Bills defenders, I'm coming in and swiping as much as I can and keeping an eye on that ball and that snap to make sure he's got it.
Not top of mind, I guess, but it probably feels pretty good to the people in Baltimore to have sort of, I don't know, not buried Pittsburgh, but enough already with that series and the 18-16 games and just Pittsburgh kind of owning them. The Steelers even got the mulligan in the playoffs and just were not even close to on the same level. So at least the Ravens have that.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that we can look back at this year, because people kept talking about Lamar and the Steelers having his number. I mean, he only played one home game against them. It seemed like he was hurt every time they were playing him for about 2 years there.
Yeah.
But now looking at it, he's won the last two, and they've won in convincing fashion. So, and it seems like maybe something got stirred up in Pittsburgh where people were calling for, you know, coaches' heads, players' heads, a lot of talk going on there. So we'll see what they look like in the offseason. But again, you know, like Ravens have one of the best front offices in football. I feel like they reload every year. But it's one thing getting to the playoffs all the time. It's not enough for these fans. There's got to be something else that comes along with it. So beating the Steelers was great this year. But if they don't win a Super Bowl, and it's been back-to-back years with the way that it finished, I think it's going to be heartbreaking.
Well, you know what really should happen, what needs to happen, is for the Chiefs to lose. Because they were never the best team this year.
No.
They've had their fun, and I think we'd all sort of agree to hope for Houston in the upset there and then have the winner of this game play at home and, you know, if I'm not going too far, take its rightful place, you know, in the pole position in the AFC, at least for 1 year.
I mean, absolutely. Like, again, I was just telling somebody else, like, Pat Mahomes is amazing. I'm not going to knock him at all. The guy throws so many screen pass touchdowns, and that's why that relationship, that marriage with Andy Reid works so well, because he can literally do everything. And I'm going back to a basketball term, but he makes all the layups. He doesn't miss any of the short stuff and making sure that the ball is going to the right guy with the blocking being set up. And, I mean, look, he's had the knack of being a wizard with not much time on the clock. So, you know, this season has been crazy because at one point, I think it was like week 15 or 16, they said there were 3 teams that hadn't scored 30 points in the league, and one of them was Kansas City. The other two were like the Giants and the Patriots until the Giants had that 40-point outburst against the Colts. I mean, that's a weird statistic, right? And
yep.
The other thing with Pat Mahomes now, he hasn't thrown an interception in 7 weeks, so maybe I can speak that into existence.
Very good, Jeremy.
Yeah, say it again.
Yeah, just after you hang up, say it a few more times. Jeremy Kahn, the Fan in Baltimore. Thanks, Jeremy. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, guys, I wish I could say good luck, but I'm sure you're feeling the same way. One of us is going to be really happy. The other one's going to be upset.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks again, Jeremy.
I'll say good luck. I'll be the bigger man. Psych!
You got that in.
Sorry, just kidding around.
I could tell that you meant it.
Yeah, no, not really.
We've said it all week, and everybody already knows it. Just the loneliness, perhaps, that the loser will have to suffer from in this game with Kansas City, maybe, you know, especially if they win, It's worse if they don't, maybe, for the loser of this game. But just, what do you do next?
Oh, God, yeah. I think it's much worse for the loser of this game if Kansas City loses. Because that's, you're right back to 21 again. You know, I had this opportunity to host this game, and oh.
Yeah.
But.
Not a conversation we need to have today, but just for the Bills or the Ravens, what do you do if you don't win here? Like, what's your problem? Will the Bills need to, are we talking wide receiver all summer again after the season they've just had? Maybe it depends on what happens in the one game, in the game here on Sunday, but it's almost already to a point where you just kind of throw your hands up. Like, what am I supposed to be better at than the Bills have been or than the Ravens have been? And again, like, somebody's going out in the second round. We had the stat yesterday in the entire Super Bowl era, these two teams are the two that have won the most games without a Super Bowl appearance in a span of seven seasons. And, you know, that's good. It's going to be over for the loser of this game for this year, at least. So they'll still be right up there on the top of that stat. The Chiefs, by the way, this was yesterday, brought up yesterday, and then again with Jeremy, they scored exactly 30 points twice in the regular season, but never more. So that is the stat, scoring over 30. And the Bills scored 30 or more.
Eight times in a row at one point this season.
New England.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then New England happened, but then the next week they scored 40 against the Jets. So plenty of times. Here is Mark with us. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just wanted to kind of piggyback off what Bulldog was saying. It does seem like most of the national media is sort of siding with Baltimore in that heavy run game. I know, like, Get Up and just shows like that seem to really be slanted in that direction. I don't know if enough tension is being brought up with the possibility of, with the Zay Flowers injury and the weather and sort of Lamar's playoff history, if they get behind a score or two, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be that comfortable having a successful passing game to come back in some of those situations. So just wanted to get your thoughts there.
Well, I guess it does seem like a game where getting ahead might mean more than in the average game for that reason. I don't know if it would affect the Bills the same way, being down 10-0. Just the pressure of that.
Right.
I don't know about game plan. It is just always said how teams have to get out of their running game if they get behind. Do they have to by the second quarter? I guess if it's not working, you would do that. But I don't need to necessarily scramble everything because I'm down 10-0 in the second quarter.
Right. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. But I think what, like, it's kind of how Jeremy was talking. I think you've seen Baltimore do that kind of to themselves. They sort of psych themselves out that they have to. And that's a little odd. I don't know, you know, how you know, I'm sure it's not correct 100% of the time, but they might feel, you know, I think this happened last year in the AFC title game. Like, we're here, we've got the MVP quarterback, we should be able to throw it to win or something. Like, I don't know, like, they had to prove something. I'm assuming that they're through that, but, you know, we'll see how they react to it. And how the Bills react to whatever, however Baltimore's going to start this game, because I think it is a unique challenge. There's no question about that. Some of these personnel groupings, but it is still, I think, two excellent teams with two excellent quarterbacks and two very potent offenses. And I think the Bills' offense has been sort of the overlooked part of this whole thing. We've been hung up on how I'm going to handle a 6, 300-pound guy or a 7th guy and Derrick Henry and, oh boy, the pass run options and all this stuff with Lamar. Like, I recognize the threat that he is, but the Bills have got a dude and they have had the second highest scoring offense in the league all year long. So I'm not worried about the Bills being able to keep up. If Baltimore gets the ball and scores, okay, go score. You know, like that.
Like Denver did.
Yeah, it could be that kind of game. You just got to be able to function on offense, too. And I feel like the Bills' offense is getting just very much overlooked going into this game.
803-0550. Defer or take the ball, given this point about starting well. Our special Playoff Football Friday Facebook Live stream brought to you by Taquito Lindo, Williamsville. Experience Mexico in the 716. Buffalo and football go together like chips and salsa. Make Taquito Lindo your next destination for authentic Mexican street food. Proudly serving as the highest rated restaurant in Williamsville, Taquito Lindo offers tacos, burritos, bowls, quesadillas, all accompanied by an upscale cocktail menu in a lively atmosphere. Stop by for happy hour Thursdays and Fridays from 4 to 6 or for trivia on Tuesdays. Grab your team, head over to Taquito Lindo on the corner of Sheridan and International Drive. Experience Mexico in the 716 at Taquito Lindo. The Sabres play tonight, home to Pittsburgh, with the pregame show coming up at 6. It is Football Friday on WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
He's definitely a competitor. I would say, I mean, we're talking about quarterbacks you hate playing the most. Based off of who would be, like, closest to Lamar, how is he able to just keep a play going? The play is really never over. And then when he runs, he is a big dude. He can juke you, but he can run you over and keep running very easily. So just a super tough quarterback to go against. But that's the biggest thing. If I had to put on one thing, the play is just never over.
Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens, Bills and Ravens on Sunday. Sounds like he did his homework. He knows. Pretty good description of what facing Josh Allen is probably like. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. We're also on camera out at the WGR Facebook feed today, the Facebook page, the stream, the whole thing. Brought to you by Taquito Lindo Williamsville. Thanks to them for their support. 803-0550 is the number. Sal, in an hour. There's not much in the way of injuries for either team. Zay Flowers, doubtful. Ray Davis for the Bills, questionable. Deontay Hardy, revenge game, possibly, as he is questionable. He's been out a long time for Baltimore, but maybe they get the former Bill back. 1 year, right? Just last year was it for Deontay Hardy.
Right.
I liked him.
Why?
I like fast guys, and he made a couple of big plays. The punt return in Miami.
Yeah.
He did some things.
Yep. That was it. But yeah, that was great.
That was great.
That was really great. And I'm not here to tell you somebody else would have made that play if they were there. We should remember him fondly. I shouldn't be so jerky about, but I don't know. I don't have a particular fondness for Deontay Hardy. Well, I thought it was kind of a turned out along with
you're shallow.
Trent Sherfield be pretty meaningless signings.
How about Curtis Samuel right now? Nice game last week. I mean, not a lot of volume, but even week 18. I don't know. I'm stretching to include week 18, but. He's healthy now and has done some stuff, and I kind of want to think he has some value here in this game. I don't know about like what where Cooper is or what Coleman is right now or what Kincaid is right now. It's really mostly a toss-up between everybody after Shakir, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. I like Samuel. Like if you somewhere out there. I would guess some Bills fan is, you know, maybe they're not inclined to call us. Maybe they're just hoping one of us will say it. Like, the Bills have been sitting on Samuel all year. They just waited until now. They're playing the long game. That's the longest I could go without coughing on Samuel. And, yeah, I doubt that that's the case, but he has had a relatively dormant season here. And made a huge play last week. And so, I don't know. I mean, I doubt Baltimore is like, oh, how do we stop Curtis Samuel? But he is, for me anyway, and I'm just telling you, frankly, there were times this year where I forgot he was on the team. So, for him to have an impact in a playoff game and, you know, potentially more impact in another playoff game, I'm totally here for that. I mean, it's a nice piece to be able to drop into our laps here. But I don't know. Like, should I be expecting it? I mean, I don't know. I might sooner expect Amari Cooper to go off in this game. Because that really has not happened yet.
I just kind of like the idea of Samuel side to side. You know, pre-snap, jet sweep kind of stuff with him. It's a little bit sort of simple of an idea. But I like the idea of his speed here. Cooper, what's Cooper going to be at best in this game?
4 for 60.
At best, right? I mean,
maybe
we say that. Like last week, I bet on
his
overs.
Throw a score in there. I don't know.
Last week, I bet on Cooper, and yeah. I mean, it was only 2.5 catches. Like, oh, I can't resist. I have to bet. I have to take it. And of course, he had two. Not even like a Kincaid play where it was dropped, but it still counted.
Yeah.
I didn't even get one of those. Derek is next. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how's it going, boys?
Good. Thank you, Derek.
Good. I just want to say, like, I think the Bills can win this game solely based on the fact that I don't think Lamar can do these long 14, 13-play drives to score. I find a lot of their offense is these big explosive plays, and they get penalized a lot, so they have to make it up by having these big explosive plays. I don't see them moving the ball down the field and killing clock like we're able to do, like we did a few times last year, like we tried to do against Kansas City. And if we can stop them two or three times from these big explosive plays, I think we can grind this game out and walk away with a win.
I like it. Thanks, Derek. The thing that would scare me if I were on Baltimore's side is that they have been more susceptible to mistakes. And it can be the kind of game, the way it's being billed, it probably will be the kind of game where one mistake is the difference. Whether that's a turnover, some costly penalty, whatever that is. That's what happened here 4 years ago. The Bills really couldn't move the ball either. But they drove to a touchdown for 10-3. The Ravens drove to the doorstep, and then you had the Taron Johnson play. And that was the end of that. So any game, you never know which side it's going to be. The Bills have kind of been due for turnover regression. But not all of that is luck. I mean, they've been really safe with the ball. That's Allen. That's James Cook. They have not lost a fumble since the Ravens game in week four, which is insane. And so if that tendency continues, the Bills, to me, are a team that I can sooner trust than the Ravens to avoid that mistake. It is not that much. I mean, it's a big thing and hard to predict, but it's still just like, what do you have as the difference between these two teams? And I do like for this point, too, that the Bills are at home, because I think these things are harder to avoid when you're on the road, and there's the pressure and the noise and the temperatures and the kinds of things and the past. The Ravens have a past where will they be able to avoid these kinds of critical game-losing sort of mistakes as we go on Sunday night. So it's easy to say. It's the key to most close games, you know, when you look at it and try to predict it. But the Bills have just been so clean in this way.
Yeah.
And the Ravens just a little bit less so.
I think I'm looking as the caller was talking there to try to find if there is statistical evidence of this. Like they can't have, they struggle with long drives. They need the big explosive plays. We've all seen the Derrick Henry runs the last few weeks. And certainly Lamar's had his share of explosive passing plays. All I found is average number of plays per game. And the Ravens are ahead of the Bills by almost two plays. 62.9 plays per game this season on offense, and the Bills are just over 60. So I don't know what that, you know, I'm just not sure that 62.6, excuse me, plays per game, and the Bills are 60.9. So, make of that what you will. I think it would be a better breakdown would be scoring drives, but I can't find that data, at least not this quickly. I like the point. I've been thinking about the weather more than I think normal here. In part, it's, I think what started me down that road was the highlights of the New England game that made the rounds recently, because it was the anniversary of that perfect game from 3 years ago that the Bills played in what read like very similar conditions to what Sunday will be like. And the Bills had no trouble moving the ball. Now that was New England, not Baltimore. But still, we saw the offense function at an all-time high level in those conditions. Furthermore, frigid, cold. I mean, I know the officials do a great job of protecting the ball and providing a fresh ball, so it's not like a frozen rock or anything, but a lot of the sticking the ball in Derrick Henry's belly and waiting and pulling it out, like that kind of ball handling with cold hands, with a cold ball, a slick ball on a slick field.
Look out.
I could see a scenario where that is a problem for them early. They get tripped up and then just think, we got to go. We got to run some other plays. We can't just lean on this because it's asking for trouble. Like that's possible to me. I'm not, again, telling you that's entirely likely, but as I'm thinking about this game and trying to get to a place where I feel, good about it, which I have most of the week, that is not far from the top of my thoughts. I think the conditions could be a challenge for how Baltimore, for all the talk about the big guys, the bulky guys, there's a lot of, feigning. There's just a lot of ball handling that goes into running that offense effectively. And I'm not sure the conditions will be favorable for a lot of ball handling.
The Ravens, you said, ran two more plays per game on average than the Bills this year. And the Ravens had the most yards per play almost in league history this year. Only the Kurt Warner Rams the one year had a better yards per play. The difference, or one difference that's, I think, meaningful, Ravens versus Bills, which isn't really necessarily anything about their offenses, it's more just about their seasons. The Bills' average drive start of their own 33.4 yard line was the best in the NFL. Which is takeaways. Like they had, what, the third most takeaways in the league. So that's going to affect that number. The Ravens in that stat were 29th, starting their drive on average at their own 28.5. Not a huge difference by yards, but over 17 games. 5 yards is the difference between first and 29th. So they did not enjoy, they were 20th in takeaways. They did not enjoy that advantage, but they were so good that make them drive the field. Well, they're like, okay.
We
and they,
do,
they
we,
just
we
do it.
We can do that. Yeah.
The way the Steeler game started is an example of that, that first drive, which they were in third down a few times and just got all the way home. Football Friday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back with more of your calls after a timeout. Sal will join us at 5:30, then pregame for Sabres Penguins at 6 here on WGR. Football Friday on WGR, as you just heard, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Alex is next on WGR. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's been a long week. I think I've gone through like the turmoil of every different emotion at this point, but I'm starting to come around to some of the sentiment that I think you guys have been talking about. I was just like, what's the little edge that makes a difference here? And I got to agree. I think the other thing is, you know, I just feel like McDermott's going to have more answers than maybe we're giving him credit for. I do think it matters that, you know, some of the stuff you just talked about, this crowd noise having an impact. And then I start to think about, well, so we're a 1-point dog at home. What are the patterns of a 1-point dog at home with Vegas? Like, do they typically, you know, come out on top of those situations? Because to me, I feel like that's a good bet. You know, I would take that.
I'd have
an objective non-Bills fan, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll look.
I feel like I'd like that.
I don't know the answer. I know the Bills have not been a home underdog in the playoffs since the AFL championship game in 1966. New Year's Day, 67 was the date of that game against the Chiefs. Wouldn't you know that Alex Gold would bring that up today to me?
Oh, jerk.
And I see the Bills have not been an underdog at home in the playoffs since Len Dawson. Well, good job, Alex. You're right. That was Kansas City, and you were not even born yet, but you can have the clout. I will look. Playoff home underdogs. It happens. Last week, the Rams were an underdog at home, and so were Houston, and they both won pretty easily. So there you go, Alex. Pete is next. Hi, Pete.
Yeah, hey, guys. I was actually at that game, that AFL game. It was a great game.
Is that right? Awesome.
No, I actually wasn't there. No, but what I wanted to say is, you know, throughout the week, everybody's been talking about how big the Ravens' O-line is, our 300-pound fullback. Oh, it's a complete mismatch for the Bills defensively, but there really hasn't been much discussion about some of the weaknesses on Baltimore's defense, which has been good down the stretch, but I think they've kind of beat up on some cupcake games.
Hey, Pete, we can't hear you great, but I think we got the point. The Bills scoring, maybe you want to trust that here? I do.
Yeah, and Baltimore's defense, I looked at this the other day, and it's, you know, what hasn't made the rounds? Everything has made the rounds. I mean, there's only four games this weekend, so everything is going in depth. But the quarterbacks, while their pass defense stabilized, yes, they made a schematic change. They moved a rookie into a corner spot and bumped Humphrey inside to the slot corner. Kyle Hamilton is back playing more of a deep traditional style safety, whereas earlier in the year they just kind of used him kind of all over the field, kind of as a rover almost. But it's Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke, some combination thereof. It's the Steelers a couple times. It's the Browns. You know, it's not great teams that they had success against. There's an Eagle game in there that they lost. They did beat Houston in there handily, 31-2. So it's not like it's all just schlubs that they've handled. But
yep.
There's more bad looking offenses than good since they sort of got near the top of the rankings in the back end of the season.
Football Friday continues. Check us out on our Facebook page as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.